We'll open your Bibles this evening to the second Peter. Second Peter in chapter 1. We're going to start right at the beginning. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Grace and peace be multiplied to you. I'm going to key in on that tonight. Verse 3, as his divine power has already given to us all things, say all things that pertain to life and godliness or godlikeness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue or excellence, by which have been given to us. Notice that's already happened, has been given to us. Exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these great and exceedingly precious promises, you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now go back to verse 2, if you would. Grace, or the favor, the unmerited, undeserved favor of God. And that really doesn't even describe what the grace of God really is. It includes everything that he's done for us. Everything that Jesus represented on Calvary is the grace of God. For by grace are you saved through faith. But it's the grace of God that has given it to us, that has done the work. It's not about our works. It's about our trusting him. But he says grace and peace be multiplied to you. I want to talk to you tonight about living in God's kingdom in peace. Living in God's kingdom in peace. Because we are capable of living in the same peace that Jesus lived in. He's in us and his peace is in us. And we're going to look at the word tonight and we're going to see that he's given it to us. But there's some things about it that we're going to have to cooperate with. So having said that, Galatians 5:22, we know, we'll just turn there, that peace is one of the gifts of the Spirit in the 22nd verse. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and the third one mentioned is peace. The peace of God is already inside of you. I'll say that again. The peace of God is already on the inside of you. Remember, God does everything on the inside first, and then things manifest on the outward side. So that's no different than with peace. The peace of God has been put inside of us, but we have to cooperate with it. We have to reflect the peace of God in order for it to benefit us. That seems pretty reasonable. In John 14, turn over to the Gospel of John. And right off the bat in verse 1, Jesus is speaking here. And he starts by saying, let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. And we're going to stop right there because I think we need to get an understanding of what he's saying here. Let not your heart be troubled. That would imply you could let it be troubled. So you have a choice. It's just like Deuteronomy 30, you've set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. You have to choose. You have to choose peace in your life. You have to choose to operate in it. You have to choose to let it manifest in you. You have to choose. It's total choice by us if we're going to allow the peace of God to operate in our lives. And we're actually supposed to let, well, I'm getting ahead of myself. We're going to look at a scripture that tells you some things about peace. But turn towards the back of the chapter of John 14, Verse 25, Jesus says, "These things I've spoken to you while being present with you." So he said this when he was on the earth. He says, "The Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you." Do you suppose he will bring to your remembrance, "Let not your heart be troubled"? Yes, he will. The Holy Spirit inside of us will help us to remember that Jesus said that. And that he said also, if we continue on, the next verse, 27, Jesus says, "Peace I leave you, my peace I give to you." It's a gift. Peace is a gift. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to work for it. You don't have to struggle for it. It's inside of us. But there's no price that could be put on having the peace of God operating in your life. All the money on the planet wouldn't bring you the peace of God. All of, you know, the best things and the finest things on this planet that we could find won't bring you the peace of God. The peace of God's inside of you, and you've got to learn how to let it come out. And that's totally a choice up to you. I don't know if you've ever heard it said that way before. I never really had until the Lord was dealing with me about it earlier today. It's a choice. Peace is a choice. And so he says, "I give to you." Then he says, "Not as the world gives do I give to you." The things God gives us are far above what the world can give you. The world can, you know, you might think if you had a lot of money that would bring you peace. No, it won't. I've read so many stories and heard so many stories of people that had came quickly into money, and it was a horror story nightmare. All of a sudden, everybody wanted to be their best friend. All of a sudden, people were stealing from them, trying to take advantage of them, you know, stalking them. I mean, just having the money is not going to bring you peace. Now, you can have money, and God's peace can still work in you, but you have to reflect that peace. You have to operate in it. It's a choice that you need to operate in. And I would say you have to operate in it every day. Because as soon as somebody gets you agitated, your peace can go, can just fall right out. And then all of a sudden you're yielding. Now, it's not that that person's the one that's trying to get at you. They might be, but it's the enemy behind them. And so we need to recognize that as we grow and mature as Christians. And so don't let those words, they might be cutting words, they might be hurtful words, but you don't need to let them affect you. Let not your heart be troubled. You can choose to let the thing go right over you. People could do things and cause you agitation and anxiety. And, you know, if you've raised kids, you know what I'm talking about. And you just want to pull your hair out. But you can let not your heart be troubled, and you can go to the Lord about that situation. You can cast your care about that situation. You've been pulling it out. You pulled it all out. If you're taking notes, write this down. When you lose your peace, you lose your ability to hear from God. When you lose your peace, you lose your ability to hear from God. Why? You've gotten yourself over into Satan's arena. You're not going to be hearing the Holy Spirit. You're going to be hearing the next thing the devil speaks to you, and you're going to be just getting even more agitated and more angry at a person or at a situation, or, you know, maybe you didn't get that promotion at work, and it just got you so off, you know, off your rocker almost, and you just were agitated and upset with your boss, and it wasn't fair because the guy that they gave it to, you know, he was given special favors and whatnot, and he doesn't care about the company, and he's not even doing the best job, but he got the promotion. That can tick you off, but don't let your heart be troubled. You stick with God, and God's the one that promotes. God will promote you. So when you lose your peace, you lose your ability to hear from God. That's powerful. And you don't want that to happen, because that's power that Satan is coming in and now is going to have an inroad into your life to speak to you. when we're not in peace and when we're upset about a situation, we're allowing our thought life to meditate on that as opposed to let the peace of God be reflected in my life. Turn with me over to James. James talks a bit about this. We're going to look at starting in verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, I would have to say if you have bitter envy in your heart, you're not letting the peace of God operate in your life. It says, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable. I think the root word there is peace. Wisdom from God is first pure, then it's peaceable, it's gentle. See, when you're agitated, you're not allowing your spirit to be gentle, or your mind and your will and your emotions. Our emotions can run amok at the drop of anything or at the one word from somebody, and our emotions will just fly off the handle. But you know, one of the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. And we're supposed to operate in that self-control. And we have to choose to. Our flesh doesn't like to. Our flesh likes to be in control. But our spirit man needs to be in control. And so therefore, it needs to be calling the shots so that we do exercise self-control. Everybody hearing me? This is good. This is good to know, because a lot of times at Christmas time we do talk about peace and we sing Christmas carols and, you know, joy to the world, and you know, I don't know what's one of them I lost right out of my mind about the peace of God, but we sing them and we picture the peace of God. But look, we're in this 24/7, 365 days a year. We got to live in the peace of God all the time, not just, you know, next Wednesday night when the kids get up here and show us how to, you know, how to do things. No, we've got to be in control of our emotions, of our mind, of our will. Our will needs to line up with God's will. And he's telling us, if Jesus bothered to leave you his peace, if he bothered to give you his peace, he must want you to operate in it. And not just every once in a while, you know, every third Thursday or whatever. No, he wants you to be living that way. He wants you to be living that way. So anyway, back up to James chapter, same chapter, verse 1. Because he, all the way up to verse 13, he's been talking about the tongue. And it's usually the tongue from someone else or yourself. If you get upset about something and start spewing off, then you just, your peace just went out the window. And so, my brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. Oh, I love reading that one. I didn't know that one until after I was a teacher. Then I said, whoa, interesting. That just jumped out at me afterwards. He says, wait a minute, God, you didn't tell me that ahead of time. He says, I called you to teach. And then he throws that one in there years later. But anyway, we stumble in many things. We all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he's a perfect man or a mature man. Not perfect that without sin. Able to bridle the whole body. Amplified says it this way. For we all often stumble and fall and offend in many things. And if anyone does not offend in speech. You see, that's really what getting at somebody or somebody getting at you. You're taking offense, or you're saying something that they're taking offense to. It's by speech. And so here James is, he's going to instruct us here. He's going to show us. He says, indeed, verse 3, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. And those big boys are big. And look at ships. They're even bigger. They're so large and driven by fierce winds that they're turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member, and it boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire by hell. Boy, that's not real good liking to our ears, is it? Our tongue's not good sometimes. But anyway, it goes on to say, for every kind of the beast and bird and reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But look at this, verse 8. No man can tame the tongue. It's unruly, evil, full of deadly poison. Now, I thought I had written it in my Bible, but I don't see it written in this one. I have written it in one of my Bibles. It says, no man can tame the tongue. I wrote in there, but the Holy Spirit can. I don't have to write that in here. The Holy Spirit can. It says man can't tame the tongue, but the Holy Spirit can. And so with it, we bless God our Father, and with it, we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. We've been made in God's likeness. We've been made like God, and we're the righteousness of God. And yet, we bless God, but we curse men. And he goes on to say, out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. And then he says, does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus, no spring yields both salt water and fresh. So he's really given us some stern instruction here. Don't be speaking and spewing out of our mouths things, and we're not going to take the time. You know what they are, but he's just saying here that our tongue is what's going to set on fire, and it's going to, my point I want to make, is that it's going to rob somebody of their peace, or what they say to you is going to rob you of your peace, if you let it. If you let it. So as we mature, as we meditate on God's word, we should be able to, as we grow, and it takes time, but we want to practice. We want to be doing what God wants us to do, and we don't want to be yielding to the first thoughts that come when somebody lashes out at us. We want to be thinking, taking time. Got two ears, one mouth. Good time to listen, even if you're right and they're wrong. That's not the issue. The issue is, are you going to let it rob your peace? Are you going to let it get you so stirred up, so agitated, that it's not just going to lose your peace for that moment, but it's going to carry with you, and you're going to keep it until something changes. Either you're going to have to change. I think you're going to have to change. You're hoping I had an oar, and I was too, but there isn't one. It's I'm going to have to change. I'm going to have to renew my mind to God's word and be conformed to his image and not the image that I was conformed to. I've got to let that go. I was good at that back before I came into God's kingdom. I was good at living like the world because I was the world. But even when we're dealing with non-Christians, we've still got to not be treating them like they're the world. We need to treat them so good with the goodness of God that they want to become like us. But they won't want to become like us if we're giving it right back to them. I so believe in my heart that it's more important how we live instead of just what we say to people trying to impress them that we're Christians. I think if we could just shut up and demonstrate the love of God, they'd want to be more like us quicker than if we tried to talk to them about everything, because they're watching you. They're watching me. They're watching to see if I am real. Or am I going to be different at Walmart? You know, when the price check doesn't come up right and I flip out, you know? I don't try to cheat stores. If the tag is wrong in their favor, I tell them. Or if they give me back too much change, I said, no, this isn't right. I said, this is your money. It's not my money. I I agreed that it was $20 and you're giving me back extra money. That's not right. That's just how we need to live. Anyway, that was for somebody listening online. Go over to 1 Corinthians. You know, the ones listening online, they're getting their feet wet here and trying to figure us out and see where we're at before they come and visit. I'll just take this time to say hi to all my friends that are listening, because I have people that email me and call me, and they've been listening as well. Good evening. Good evening. 1 Corinthians 14 and in verse 33, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. So God has authored peace. You know, if you're an author that has written a book, you've put a lot of thought into authoring that book. You put a lot of time and energy into that. God, we know, has been thinking about us. Back to Jeremiah 29, 17. He was thinking about us before we were even born. Had thoughts and plans for us. Well, he authored peace. He didn't come up with the confusion thing. That came after Adam transgressed. That's when confusion, all of everything went into confusion. Even the animal kingdom went into confusion. Everything did. Even the vegetable gardens went into confusion. And now there's thorns coming and all sorts of stuff. God didn't author and put there. Confusion is all about the earth today and still is, because Satan is still loose. Satan is still the little g god of this world's system. God owns it all. And he's delegated to you and me to be good stewards of it and to advance his kingdom. So we have assignments to do, but we still live in a world. We're still in the world. He made it quite clear in his word that you're in the world, but you're not of the world anymore. We're in God's kingdom. So we have citizenship in heaven, but we also have it here in America for us here. But we're predominantly citizens of heaven first. We're citizens of the kingdom of God first. All right, Ephesians chapter 2. I'm just going to give you a few more scriptures that you have to dig sometimes to find in total what God wants to get. And believe me, tonight's the scriptures I'm going to give you is not the total amount of scriptures that we can find on peace. It's about how many we have for the time that we have together. But in Ephesians 2, verse 14, it says, for he himself, Jesus that is our peace. Jesus is our peace. Well, where does Jesus live? He's inside of me by his Spirit. So his peace is inside of me. Plus, we know that the fruit of the Spirit is in there. But that's him. Go over to the fourth chapter with me. Ephesians 4, right at the beginning. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, this is Paul writing, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness or humility and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There's that word peace again. In the Amplified, it says, and produced by the Spirit in the binding power of peace. There is a power in the peace of God. Jesus was able to go to the cross, and it says that he didn't even open his mouth and lash back at them. He was giving us an example. You're not going to have that bad of something happen to you as what went on Jesus. But he's saying, if I can not lash out, then you certainly should be in whatever situation you come up against. Somebody says something to you and just gets you upset. Well, just don't let it get you upset. Just let that peace rise up on the inside of you. This power in that peace. That power, remember I said earlier, and I said to write it down, when you lose your peace, you lose your ability to hear from God. So this it's worth pursuing to hold on to the peace of God in your life. I shared that story about when I went into that store, and that woman, she was just nasty, you know, to the owner, to me, the whole thing. But, you know, here's the one thing the Lord showed me. I don't know what was going on in her life. I heard of another situation where there was a man, he was on a subway, and his two little kids, they were climbing all over the place. And somebody said, you know, buddy, you ought to take care of your kids. And he just looked up and he said, I'm really sorry. He says, their mother just died. You know, his little kids. And he's his wife. And, you know, we judge people and think something, you know, we got to tell them what to do. But we don't know what's going on in their life. That's why if we let the peace of God, oh, I want to get to that one. It talks about letting the peace act as, we're almost there. Colossians 3. And guys, you could probably understand this one because I think it's verse 15, yeah. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you also were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. That's one way you can know if you're hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit, is you're going to have the peace of God in your heart. You're going to know. You're going to be at peace. If there's still something that feels like sandpaper, that's not the peace of God. Let the peace of God, this is what I wanted to show you in the Amplified. Let the peace, soul, harmony, which comes from Christ, rule and act as an umpire continually. An umpire has to watch, you know, the ball coming in. And you know, this very small, narrow of line between a ball and a strike. And so he has to concentrate and watch. And so here Paul is saying, let the peace of God act as an umpire. It will show you, is that right or is that not right? That peace inside of you will show you, do I go this way or do I go that way? Do I go down this, you know, street at night? The peace of God will show you. And God wants to show you when things aren't right. And if you've got an uneasy feeling, then he's trying to tell you something. You've got to, again, get to know the voice of the Spirit of God. But let the peace of God act as an umpire in your life. That right there, when I learned that, it helped me because, you know, even in ministry, it's like people, they're questioning, well, I don't know if it's this or if I don't know if it's that. And I said, just settle down, just relax, and let the peace of God be your umpire. Let the peace of God show you. The Holy Spirit wants to. God the Father wants to. He's not trying to withhold. But you know what? So many times people are so anxious and have that anxiety. They're agitated. They're upset. They're mad even. And so they can't hear the voice of the Spirit of God. I said that the robbing of your peace, or if you don't have any peace, you're not going to have the ability to hear from God. And that's what I'm trying to talk to you about. It's important that we hear from God. So it's important that we operate in peace. Amen? Remember when Jesus was out in the boat and the big storm and everything. And the disciples, they're all upset because, you know, what are we out here to drown? Looks like we're going to. Don't you care that we're going to perish? What did he do? He just gets up from his nap and he says, peace, be still. You can do that. You can do that and settle your own heart down. Settle your own mind down and your emotions. Too often we've been trained up from little children. We've been trained to operate in our emotional realm. Now, emotions are good, but they're not to govern our life. That's not the purpose of our emotions. But the peace of God should be ruling in our life. Amen? There's much. I'm learning that there's much more to the peace of God than I ever thought of. I times we just read right over the words when we read them, and we don't get the full meaning of what God's trying to show us. But he wants us truly to have the peace of God that he's already given us. He's already left it here, Jesus said. I've already put it inside of you. Now let it operate in you. You have to make that decision. I'm going to let it rule in my life. I'm choosing life. That's choosing life. The other way is allowing all the other junk that Satan's bringing your way. He brings what? He brings death and destruction. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So you have to make a conscious decision to choose peace in every situation. In every situation. We're almost done here. Almost done. Romans 14. Just studying this, it was amazing the peace that was on me. It was amazing the peace that was in the house. It was just like everything was like in harmony. Everything was like perfect. It was almost like I was, you know, the presence of God was there, and it was you could feel it. It was just amazing. Romans 14, verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. I would dare say if you take peace out, you can't have joy. The joy of the Lord is your strength. You take out peace, you can't have joy. We need them all. We need them all. Amen. Philippians chapter 4. We're going to finish right here. Verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. You see, this is a good thing to do when you do have a situation that is troublesome or agitating, or you know, somebody said something or somebody did something. Just give it to the Lord. And begin to praise God. Begin to praise him until you get the joy on the inside. You can praise yourself into a joyful state. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. He tells you to do it again. If it wasn't good enough first time, just do it again. Just keep doing it. Just keep doing it. Just keep doing it. Just keep doing it. How long do I keep doing it? Till you get the result. Just keep doing it. How many times do you meditate on a scripture if you're believing God for healing? Just until you get your healing. Might be 3 times, might be 30 times, might be 300 times. Does it really matter if you get your healing? No. Just keep praying and then praise him in between. Read the scripture on healing and then thank you, Lord, I've got it. Thank you, Lord, I've got it. By the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. I thank you, Lord, I got it. Jesus did it. I got it. I receive it. I take it. It's mine. And you just praise yourself into joy, and pretty soon you notice that pain's gone. Those symptoms are gone. That thing just fell right off you. See, that's how it works in God's kingdom. Praise the Lord. All right, be anxious for nothing. Verse 6, be anxious for nothing. That's a choice. Be anxious for nothing. Don't choose to be anxious. Can you see how it's a choice? But in everything by prayer and supplication. So let's not get to the prayer and supplicating until we can do the first part. Let's do the first part first. I'm not going to have anxiety over this thing. Don't just go bawling and squalling to God. God, you don't know the situation, how bad it is, you know. He knows, help me, you know. But you don't need to go that way. When he's already given you his peace. So be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. I like the Amplified. Don't fret or have anxiety about anything. About how many things? About anything. Don't fret about anything. But you don't know what they said to me. No, I don't know and I don't want to know. Just count it all joy. Just cast your care. Just get to the good part where you got the peace of God back in your life. I tell you, if the world sees us living with the peace of God, truly with the peace of God, they're going to want what we've got. They're going to think something, you've got something. Because you're not going to have that anxiety. Look, you can see anxiety on somebody. You can see their agitation. You can see it in their eyes. You can see it in their body language, you know, and their tone of their voice. People can't hide that. That just comes out. You know what else happens? Is that anxiety will cause physical problems to come on you. It causes sickness. So there's something to be said there for having the peace of God operate in your life. All right, almost done. Says, be anxious for nothing, in everything in prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. See, you can choose to have peace without having the understanding of how. God is the one in charge of doing the how part. You just have to do it by making a choice. I choose not to be agitated. I choose not to lash back. I choose to be in self-control and let the peace of God operate in my life. He says, so, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts. Why did he say it would guard your hearts? Because that's what it does. So if you, in the absence of the peace of God, your heart is out there in a condition, in a place where the enemy can get to it. And that's what the enemy wants to do. He wants you mad at people. He wants you mad at the pastor. He wants you mad at your family. He wants you mad at your kids. He wants you mad at the school teachers. You know, he just want, you know, amongst other things, but he wants you agitated, because when you're agitated, you're listening to him. You're listening to him. You're listening to him. You're not hearing the Spirit of God. And the more things you meditate on, you're just going to think, oh, that must be what I'm supposed to do. And I'll give him a piece of my mind. Friend, you can't afford to give up a piece of your mind. Just hold on to your mind and keep your mouth shut. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind. Peace in your mind. Peace in your mind. Through Christ Jesus. Through Christ Jesus. Amen. He goes on to say, it's a good place to stop. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report. You know, next time you're tempted to say something, think, would this be a good report that I'd hand in to Jesus? What would God, what would please God? WWPG. What, if it's a good report, if there's any virtue or excellence, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Get your mind off the agitation things. Get them on these things. It says, the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, Paul is writing this, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. I really believe he means, and the peace of God, it won't just be with you, because it is with you. It'll be operating in you. It'll be operating with you all the time. Stand up to your feet. Father, we give you thanks for your word. We thank you for the truth of your word. And Father, I know you love us so much that you sent your word. You sent your word and you healed us. You sent your word and you delivered us. You sent your word and he gave us his peace. So we thank you, Father, for it. Father, I pray that we would have learned something tonight and we would operate in it, Father. We'll look better. We'll look better physically even when the peace of God is operating in our life. I believe the world will see something in us that they'll want. So we give you all the praise. We give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you all for coming. Trust it was a blessing to you.